every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Well, thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle.
Works better when the mic's plugged in.
It does.
Good.
We don't speak for NAOACAGAPALAASASLASLACRRMMDRALBASOS.
Either one of them.
Either one of the two.
Anybody else we don't want to speak for tonight?
Chill, you got anyone you don't want to speak for tonight?
F and A.
We haven't spoke for them much
lately. And the Roman Catholic Church.
Actually, that's true. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Shelley? No, wait. Let me change that. Mark?
Yes?
If I wanted to go to a meeting, what should I be doing?
You should turn the volume up on this thing and settle in.
Sweet. Shelley?
What?
Have you turned up the volume?
No, because if I needed a meeting, I would put on my little shoesies and I would go to a meeting.
How would you get there?
Yeah. I would walk or ride a bus or take my car.
Would you download the show on an iPod so that you could listen to it on the way?
Get a sponsor to take me or call a friend or I suppose I could download the show and take it with me on an iPod, but during the meeting I'll have to have it turned off.
Unless the speaker sucks.
What if it's a really lousy speaker? What if it's someone sharing the disease and not the recovery?
Then stick one earphone on and one the other not. So
she thinks that works, like when she's doing audiobook. She thinks that works, and I'll be like fully talking to her, and she has one earphone off, and you can tell she has no freaking idea what I'm saying.
Not because I can't hear you, but
because what I'm saying is not interesting. Because
she's not listening.
I'm listening to my book.
That's what I'm saying. Well, then. Yes. Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
All right. In Palm Beach County,
Florida.
Yes. The school board's having a little bit of a problem.
They're wrong.
On Wednesday, they will vote whether to fire 5 employees. A principal accused of stealing furniture from her school, a janitor who was caught naked in the school storage room, a female reading teacher who was accused of having sex with a student, and we also have the bus driver caught while using his cell phone during driving a school bus, and the mechanic accused of sexual harassment.
You know what would be cool? To list them all out and have people text in which one they went off the island.
Yeah, vote them off absolutely. The island. That would be good.
Be like Survivor.
That'd be awesome. I think they should all go.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I was a parent of a kid at Palm Beach County Schools, I would be a little bit worried.
Was the naked person in the closet doing anything wrong?
I was going to say, that's the least offensive thing that I heard, is the guy was naked. Like, he could have been changing, for all you know, in, like, his janitorial closet.
That's likely.
It just says that they found him naked in the storage room, and it does not disclose what he was doing inside the storage room.
Well, he may have been getting changed or dressed, for all we know. He might have been getting ready to go out on a date.
Oh, that's possible. We had
it's not like he was going out on a date with one of his students, like the teacher was.
The reading teacher. Well, that's true. When I used to work at the library, we had a volunteer that regularly changed his clothes in the elevator while he was going between floors until we finally had to let him go because it got to be the point where we were getting tired of watching him in his underwear.
Ding.
Yeah.
And it's only a two-story library, so it really wasn't enough time for him to get his pants off and other pants on. And why he needed to change his clothes in the elevator, I don't know.
Why didn't he go to the bathroom?
It's like that movie, The Secret to My Success.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
You know what?
What?
He should have just gone into the closet and got changed, just like the janitor did.
And we have a janitor closet, and then no one ever went into, so he could have done that.
But then he'd have to come out of the closet.
Yeah, his wife might take exception to that.
Him and Tom Cruise.
Ooh.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying. I'm just saying.
Not saying nothing, just saying.
This is a South Park episode. This has got Tom Cruise. Keep come out of the closet, Tom.
Yes.
In Florida.
Oh. Thank you. Yes, that's what I needed.
Okay.
Okay. We have another one of those. I don't know. This is one of those things that drives me nuts because I cannot conceive of why people have not figured out that your pants are a really bad place to stash your drugs. Because it's the first place the cops look.
I know, and it's a common misconception that cops will not put their hands in there because that's where your genitals are.
Yeah, so Timothy Kerr Evans was stopped on Highway 98 by the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Department.
It was easy for you to say.
He was found with two plastic bags holding 29 grams of marijuana, and they found his license had been suspended since August 2010.
29 grams is quite a little bit of weed. That's a slight,
just
slightly,
over
just
an
slightly
ounce.
Over an ounce.
And he stuffed it down his pants. So, of course, they found it.
Yeah?
I mean, if I were a cop, the first place I would search would be somebody's garage.
If I was going to carry stuff, I would do like the massive head wound hairy thing and just like
wait. Let me throw something in the mixer.
Okay.
What? Say what you just said again, Shelly. If I was a cop,
the first place I would look would be somebody's crotch.
Then thank God you don't work for the NSA.
Why?
Because I'm sure the NSA thinks there's plenty of things down people's crotches too.
And you get TSA?
The TSA. Oh. And you get really upset if someone in the TSA looks in a crotch to see if there might be weapons. But if you were a cop, you'd go for the drawers right away.
That's because a cop pulls somebody over because they're potentially being accused of a crime.
Yeah.
I'm not being accused of any crime when I board an airplane.
I'm not doing anything, and he went right for my junk.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I think Shelly goes straight. I think Shelly goes straight for the junk drawer.
Oh, give me a break.
The junk drawers.
That's what I think.
All right.
She's gonna go look at the jewel room.
Moving on.
Up.
To the east side.
An employee of Bed Bath & Beyond in St. David's Square reported in Radnor Township, which is let me try and remember. I looked it up. I think Pennsylvania. Found a package containing human vomit in the parking lot. 35 pounds of it.
That's a lot of vomit.
How do they know? I mean, who tested? Who, like, checked it out?
Well, I don't know.
And who weighed it?
Yeah. Hey, smell this. See what they think this is. Yeah.
Hey, it's vomit. Should I weigh it? Yeah. Let's take it over to the GNC and put it on one of their scales.
Yeah, let's weigh this.
I don't know. It doesn't say who weighed it. But this is the second time this has happened. A few weeks prior to this incident, somebody left a giant bag of vomit.
You know what?
Is there a frat house nearby?
Either that or it's a local OA meeting.
Who would bag up their vomit?
A bunch of college guys wanting to have a good time.
Yeah.
Everybody puke in that bag. Okay, let's go take it over. Leave it.
You know what's strange about that? I could see that happening, actually. I could see that as something that they do. Everyone puke in this bag, and then we'll go leave it in the mall parking lot, see what they do with it.
You know how we could get the local college to do it. Recovery.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Recovery. We haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, summer break.
You know, it's probably been, they probably stopped playing that game because we didn't say the word recovery enough.
Yeah.
Some guy who's like a random student there said, you guys should have been playing last night because, dude, I fell out.
Yeah.
In Brevard County.
Florida!
Sorry, there was just a lot of Florida today.
What the hell's going on in Florida?
Police in Brevard County arrested a mother after she showed up at the Department of Children and Family Services hearing high on marijuana. She smoked pot with her 6-year-old daughter in the car and gave the child a contact high.
Oh, she smoked pot with her daughter in the car, not smoked pot with her daughter in the car.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You gotta put the commas in the right places.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah.
One of those things. Look, up ahead in the road.
How big a trouble you get in just depends upon where the comma goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, look ahead in the road.
Yeah.
Look ahead in the road.
Sometimes the caesura makes all the difference.
It does.
All right. In Denver, police were searching on Tuesday for a man who hid inside the tank of a portable toilet at a yoga festival.
No.
A woman, yeah.
No.
The woman was not identified by authorities, but she went into the bath. She went into the porta potty and was about to sit down when she saw something moving in the toilet.
So she
got out of the toilet, and she asked somebody to go in and check for her. She thought maybe it was a rodent or something. And when the person opened the door, the man leaped or jumped out of the toilet and went running, covered in feces.
Wow.
Mark's having fits.
Golden shower, anyone?
I'm gagging over here.
Yeah, it's bad. Really, really, really bad. That's disgusting. It's like that whole perverted sex thing. I do not get the whole poo and pee thing. Just, I don't get it at all. I'm apoplectic about it.
What I want to know is, what are the police? Why do the police want him? Well, I mean, what's he done?
They did it to Steve O and Jackass 3 or whatever. They like seat belted him into a porta potty and they like sealed up the door with like duct tape or whatever. And they put it on a bungee thing. And when it went up in the air, everything from inside the toilet came out. I mean, the entire inside of the thing was covered.
Why would you do that?
Why would a guy sit down inside one?
Well, that's what I want to know.
I don't know. It's disgusting, though.
You.
Mark's over here. He's got his head in the bucket.
Yeah, Mark's completely speechless. He has no words. This next story is really gross and sad.
As opposed to the last one
with the guy sitting in the... What do they call those things?
Porta-potties.
No, yeah, but there's another word for them.
Ah. Porta-sands?
Huh?
Porta-sands?
No, it's like a name.
A crab catcher?
Can't remember. I'll think of it sometime. I'll let you know.
The dunny?
There's people at home right now that are going, what is it, Bill? No, that's not it either. It's like a name or something. It's like the something-something. I'll get it one of these days. There's people at home right now that are all going, it's blah, 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 you idiot.
In Sacramento, California, a California mother was arrested and charged with murder on Tuesday after police said she cooked her baby in the microwave.
Oh.
The hair curls.
It was a one-week-old infant.
Oh.
Kay Yang, 29 years old. She has three other children. They were taken by Children and Family Services.
Oh.
They don't have a reason why she did this.
Would you have a reason?
Well, there's no. I mean, the impetus, the cause, the I mean, postpartum depression seems a bit extreme for postpartum depression. So I don't know.
So you had a bad day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a bummer.
Killer.
Unworthy of water.
Yeah, killer.
A Cicero. Fryer,
electric chair. I'm good with that.
What's
that? A Cicero man.
Cicero.
I forgot to look up where Cicero is.
Illinois?
Okay.
Right outside of Chicago.
Okay, I'm good. I'm glad you know that.
I do.
Felony,
they have good pizza there.
He faces felony drug charges after authorities found 36 wooden clocks were set to be delivered to him. They hid more than 100 pounds of marijuana inside these clocks.
These people need to live in California where you can like pretty much walk down the street with a suitcase of weed. I mean, wow.
That's a clock that'll make you cuckoo.
Is a clock what?
It'll make you cuckoo.
There you go.
The clocks were being sent to him via UPS, and the UPS people were rather suspicious of the package. It doesn't say what reason they gave, but they contacted U.S. Immigration and Customs officials, Customs Enforcement.
Thank you.
And then they followed the package, and when he signed for the package, they arrested him.
I remember the days when you could send cocaine in the regular post office mail, because I used to get it that way. My friend in L.A. would send me, you know, quarter ounce of coke in like a letter.
Why would you wait so long for it?
Well, because this is back in the day, like, you couldn't, well, you probably could have next dated somehow. You would just mail it to me. It'd take, like, 2 days.
Okay.
But it would come in regular U.S. Postal Service mail. And we used to think that was really funny.
Statute of limitations is up on that.
Here comes the drug man.
We help.
Bringing our mail. Yeah. That was awesome.
Jason Valdez.
Juan Valdez's little known brother.
Yes, he held a woman hostage at a Utah motel in a 16-hour overnight standoff with SWAT teams, all the while finding time to keep his family and friends updated on Facebook. He updated the whole thing on Facebook.
He should have Twittered it.
He posted that he was holding this woman hostage.
What an idiot.
People posted back to him. And as
like,
the evening
wore
on... Would
you please let her go?
Yeah, stuff like that. And his family posted to him, you know, what are you doing? You know, as the evening wore on, some of his friends went to where this event was happening and started posting with their Android phones what was going on outside so that he knew where the cops were hiding. Like, there's a cop in this
well,
bush.
Yeah,
and they posted all this on Facebook.
But it's a SWAT team. I mean, there's cops all over the place. It's not like he's going to get out.
Well, he ended up... They ended up
at
storming the hotel.
At least
and
he didn't start writing things like, kill the bitch.
No, I mean, a couple of times he almost let her go, but then they messed it up somehow. You know, they didn't do what he said to do. Eventually, they stormed the hotel room, and he shot himself in the chest. The cops never fired on him.
Yeah, I'll bet. That's
and
what I'd say.
So they say.
The hostage was not harmed. However, the police are looking into figuring out how they can charge the people that were in the background telling him what was going on outside.
I don't know
for obstruction of justice.
I don't know that that's illegal.
Well, they're looking into figuring out how they can wrangle some charges on that.
I mean, there probably is a way. This is like one of those things where they're going to have to create a law for it or something, because it's probably not against... I don't know. It's hearsay.
Well, he's not on my friends list, so I missed the whole thing.
Stupid, stupid Facebook criminals. Did he post pictures? Here
of
I am
her,
with a
yeah.
gun?
Yeah.
Did he? Mm-hmm. What an idiot.
So
all they need to do is really just bring up the Facebook thing and they can just charge him and it's all in his... He's going away for a long time.
He's dead.
No, he's not dead,
no,
right?
No, he's not dead. He
is
was
that
in the
dead?
Hospital. No. He shot himself in the chest, but he's in critical condition in the hospital.
He wasn't a very good shot.
Yeah, and to shoot yourself in the chest? Hard to miss.
In New York, at the Green Man Pub...
Okay.
The new beverage of choice is our apple-infused horse semen shots.
Oh, man. Wow.
They're pasteurized.
Okay.
So they're...
The pastor what?
They're pasteurized. Oh.
Yeah,
so
the pastor did what with the horse semen?
Technically safe to consume. So would you?
No.
No, me neither.
Not even when I was drunk, would I?
Would you, Mark?
To comment would mean I'd have to dignify this story.
Oh. Sorry.
God.
Are
I
they
thought it was
popular?
Yeah, well, reasonably.
Shelly.
Reasonably popular.
She dogs me sometimes about a story I send in. Who sent in that?
I don't know.
Out of the dozens and dozens and dozens of stories you had to pick from, you've done a fine job this show so far.
Oh, sorry.
You got microwave babies and horse semen
Killing
shots.
Me.
So sue me. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, police arrested a man who had a working meth lab in his pocket.
Okay, now there we go.
Working meth lab in his pocket.
Yes, they saw a man walking on Skelly Drive near Yale around 11 p.m. Monday. When they approached him, officers discovered a one-liter pop bottle in his pocket cooking meth.
That seems extremely dangerous.
Firefighters responded to the scene and dismantled the bottle.
Yeah, because it's not much bigger than that when you're doing it in a house where you, like, blow the entire three-bedroom house to bits.
Yeah, you just blow yourself up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, no, you'd blow up whoever was around you, too.
The jewels end up in Schenectady.
Yeah.
All right. I'm done. Is there a woman you love that drinks too much or uses drugs? Or maybe that woman is you. At Casa de las Amigas, we can help. Casa de las Amigas is a beautiful facility nestled in a quiet Pasadena, California neighborhood. We have beautiful flowers, soothing fountains, and comfortable rooms, all very reasonably priced. Casa de las Amigas has a superb reputation in the recovery community and society at large. We have provided substance abuse services to women for over 44 years who are in search of a productive and sober life and the opportunity to achieve it. There is a spiritual wind that calmly flows across the grounds of our facility, touching the women with a willingness they may have never experienced before now. We have 30, 60, or 90-day residential treatment programs, intensive outpatient treatment, and our sober living environment provides the opportunity to work or obtain an education while living in a safe, sober atmosphere. Our caring and compassionate counseling staff walks the women through the complex recovery process with dignity and grace. For a free assessment, please call us at 626-792-2770. 626-792-2770.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shelly?
Hi.
Wow. One night in Bangkok.
And the world's your oyster.
See? See, if it's an 80s one-hit wonder, she can't help herself.
I know.
So what's our topic?
Take on me.
Take me on.
Name that tune as the topic.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what the topic is. I wasn't here.
What was it?
Religion versus higher power.
Oh, right. Religion versus higher power.
Pick up a rock and I am there.
Split a piece of wood and you will find me.
Yeah.
Gospel of Thomas.
Yes.
So how do you want to approach this?
Maybe from the standpoint of, I just hear a lot of people share about their religious upbringing. And it almost seems to be, just from the people I've heard, and I'm not going to say, yeah, this is across the board with everybody, but I'm just talking here. It seems like a lot of people who had a reasonably strong religious upbringing seem to have a real hard time with a higher power in the program. Because they've got this perception of God that just seems real different from what in the program we talk about our higher power being.
Well, isn't the program you can have any conception of the higher power you want? So if that's their conception, what's wrong with that?
No, I mean, they seem to have a real hard time staying sober because of their perception of the organized religion God that they have from their youth.
Hmm.
Yes, no?
Yeah, I think, you know, people have negative connotations sometimes. You know, they think of God as a punishing God because in some faiths...
Oh, recovering Catholics.
That's what God does. So they come into the program, and their conception of God, what they think of as God, and they're told that they have to use God as, or they have to find a higher power. So they automatically think of the God that they grew up with that made them uncomfortable, or unloved, or unwanted.
And they go get loaded.
And then, you know.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't work for them. But I also think I have an issue with, I hear... Mostly, actually, from people online, because I'm on a lot of recovery boards online, and people dog religion ceaselessly, constantly bad-mouthing it, constantly talking about how wrong it is, how negative it is. There are people that I've seen, especially online, say that there is no God, that they don't have a higher power, and they're staying sober anyway.
I know a guy that was an atheist that stayed sober for years and years and years without using.
You know, and that's fine if that's, you know, for you.
Interestingly enough, he talks a lot about God now.
Yeah. Are you talking about...
The sick one.
The sick one, yeah.
That's his nickname, the sick one.
But I just, you know, that's fine if it works for you. What irritates me is, you know, don't dog me because I have a religion. And I get that a lot, and I'm tired of hearing that.
Well, the thing is, people shouldn't be dogging other people's higher powers irregardless. If it's working for them, great.
Right. That's fine. That's fine.
Why they call it a God of your understanding and God of not everybody else's understanding. Now, I see where Mark's going with that, where there could be people, you know, when they come in that have been brought up with a punishing God or whatever, and why would I turn everything over to him? Maybe those guys need a sponsor
that
tells them.
Why would that make my life better?
Well, maybe that's because they need a sponsor to start working with a sponsor who says, you can choose any conception of God that you like, as it lays out in the big book.
Because, you know, one of the
Pick
things.
What works for you, not what you grew up with.
One of the things in meetings that I don't know if it bothers me, because I don't let a whole lot that gets said in meetings bother me. but that I always notice is when you have a meeting with a lot of newcomers in it and somebody shares about their relationship with God that they call Jesus Christ, the one true God. And I've heard it shared. I've heard it shared in meetings that we've all been in. And I just, other people's, you know, perception of God or their higher power, when somebody who has some time shares it that way, I think in ways it's a big disservice to the meeting and to the, you know. Yeah, okay, bugs the crap out of me.
I was going to say, for somebody who said that nothing ever really bugs them. It bugs them.
I can see how that would put a newcomer off.
I can see where the word... Hello? Bill W. said the word God put people off. That's why they didn't use the word God at the beginning. They add God in later on in the steps because they said if you told everyone you gotta come to grips with God, you'd take a bunch of newcomers, everyone would go drink. Everyone would be like, that ain't going to work for me. I already tried praying. That's why specifically it talks about finding a higher power at the beginning. Because if you tell everyone it's God, it's going to freak everyone out.
Yeah, but what are people afraid of?
Do you think there's any rational thing they're afraid of when they walk in the door?
No, that's true.
I was going to say newcomers are afraid of everything when they get there. Matter of fact, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the first few meetings that I went to, and I'll tell you what, the first time I really thought I was done. I really thought I was. I was living in a fantasy world, but I really thought I was going to be done. But when I went in, first time I heard people talking about God, I was like, what is this? Is this like a religious cult thing?
And Join us.
Then a guy that was sitting at a meeting, wasn't my sponsor or anything, the guy goes, dude, you can pick whatever you want to be your higher power. That guy happened to... We used to have a guy, he was a... I remember him, I think he's dead now, but he was like a Shriner, and he like... he was an Indian guy, and he was a Shriner, and he used to say, my higher power, Yahweh. And he would say that every single time. And I remember I would sit and listen to him. I'd be like, Yahweh. And it was...
Yow.
Yeah. I mean, it's mm-hmm. I don't know what religion is. It might even be Christianity. But it's a certain... It's like people that would say, what's the other word in the Indiana Jones movie? For God. He goes to spell out the thing in the floor.
Oh. Yeah, I remember. Jehovah?
Jehovah. Yeah, like some people will say specifically Jehovah, or some people mm-hmm. will say, I haven't really heard Muhammad much, but yeah. I mean, there's people that will say different things. Yeah. And if
you
there's
mean
enough, I think where Mark's going with it, though, is if someone said Yahweh, the only one and true God, then they're doing a disservice to other people in the meeting. If someone came in and said Muhammad, the only God that really matters.
You mean Allah.
Or whatever.
Muhammad was the prophet.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Sorry.
But see, that kind of thing. If someone comes in and says, you know, Buddha, the only true God
the
there is.
The one true God, yeah.
You know, then it's kind of a disservice to everyone else in there because it's like my God's okay and your God's not so hot.
Okay, Buddha's not a God.
But it's a religion.
That's Buddhism, and Buddha was, I guess you could say the prophet.
The icon?
He's an icon now.
Okay.
They pray to him?
Depends on which sect of Buddhism you belong to.
Do they have statues of him in every temple with, like, quarters on his head and dimes in his hands? Every furniture store I go, every yep. furniture company that I go to pick up furniture from that's owned by whatever
Buddhist.
Asian races happen to be in a Buddhism, which is a lot of different ones. There's always, like, a Buddha in the office with, like, money all over him, coins, because it's good luck. I'm thinking it's good luck mm-hmm. for the guy that cleans here at night.
You know what I like about Buddha?
Huh.
Makes me look more godlike.
You know what Buddha... You know, you know what Buddha did when he was young?
What?
Shall you tell him? What did Buddha do?
Overate.
After he was married.
Oh, he left his wife.
And... spread his seed far and wide in China.
Well, yeah. Before
I'm getting me a new higher power right now, Buddha.
Well, no, but then came to understand that his behavior was keeping him. Oh, never mind.
You know what this guy did? You know what? This is the greatest justification I've ever heard. This guy leaves for years, goes and gets laid all over China, and comes back and goes, okay, now I understand things better. I really shouldn't do that. And everyone goes, oh, Buddha, you're so insightful. I'm thinking, this guy just went and got chicks for years, just totally was a tramp, and comes back and goes, I have become enlightened as a result of my transgression. And I'm like, you know that guys like, you know, Oral Roberts and stuff are just like, why didn't I think of that?
What was the pitch he used with, once you go Buddha, you never go back, or what?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Sweet. So, Shelley, what would your final words on the subject be? Do you remember what the subject was, Shelley?
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know. Go to Mark first.
Mark, what would your final words on this subject be?
See, that's why this show is like going to coffee after a meeting, because you could have conversations like this.
Yeah.
And, I think that we have to be a little bit careful what we say, especially with newcomers in meetings, to not, you know. I mean, I've always taken the opinion that, yeah, you know what, if they go out, they're going to go out anyway. But let's not drive them out.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, and I think that, you know, higher power, there's a reason why we call it a higher power. You know, my program calls it a higher power. Of course, then again, in the step, it says, God as you understand him.
Yes.
Of course, that's also, we also assume in the program that God's a male.
They capitalize him.
Yeah.
Girls don't get a gun.
They worship us.
You worship a man, don't you?
Official eye roll.
I'm just checking. So what are your final words, Shelley?
I still don't know. I figure, you know what? Find the conception of God that works for you and stick with it.
Shelley's Switzerland here. She has no opinion.
I'm Switzerland. you know, and don't let other people impose their conception of God on you. I mean, a lot of people had to deal with it when they were growing up. I was fortunate in that, you know, my mom, although she took us to church, didn't lay that out on me. You know, and when I raised my son, I let him choose. So, just, you know, get to it. Just make sure you pick one that you can live with. Pick your conception. And then work with it. Don't just say, okay, I have a higher power, and then not try to create a conscious contact. You know, you can't just have a what do you want to call it? An icon.
A convenience store god.
Yes.
I
got a pro for us, Bruce?
I do.
Okay.
When I first came to program, the fact that people were even talking about God flip me the hell out. I'm like, what are you guys? It's a religious cult.
That's why you went out so many times.
It could be. And then I remember people telling me, I'm like, well, I got to believe in God. And, you know, God never did anything for me. And they're like, well, I'm like, I don't really want a religious thing. And they're like, okay, then make a God group of drunks. And I used that for a while. Even my last time coming in, I used that for a while because it was something concrete I could see working in other people's lives. I could see it work, and I didn't even have to have faith it worked. I could watch it work.
Good orderly direction.
But, yeah, good orderly direction, group of drunks, group of druggies, you know, whatever it happens to be. But I'll tell you, I can see where people just talk. I could remember seeing people when we'd stand up at the end of the meeting, we're going to pray out. And they're looking like, what do you mean we're going to pray out? You know, you've seen people that stand there in a meeting and we start praying and they're just sitting there with their mouth closed because they figure they should stand up and do what everyone else is doing. And they're not really saying anything. And it's like a lot of times it's new guys and they're like, really, Lord's Prayer?
So I'll ask the question I've asked before.
It's my God of my own understanding, but I've got to do this old Catholic school prayer.
So I'll ask the question I've asked before. If people have to come to meetings because they're on a court card, so they're sent there by the federal court.
And you do the Lord's
Prayer. Is there a problem with separation of church and state?
Well, we'll just leave, you can have your own conception.
We'll just leave it at that.
Glory Allred, where are you when you need them? Shelley?
She's drinking.
What?
Is Glory Allred drinking?
I don't know.
She's making other people drink.
That was a good answer. You might have been culpable. Next thing you know, Gloria will be suing you.
Yeah.
Let me sue the drunk chick.
Come get me, Gloria.
How did we get on
Gloria?
Well, Mark
said that in kind of a bound chicka bound bound way.
No, I didn't. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, yikes.
No, I said it because, if go ahead, you guys think back as far as you can. What's the last case you remember Gloria Allred winning?
I was just thinking that the other day. I can't remember one.
Exactly.
Because she keeps picking these total losers that are just because they're high profile, and then she loses the case.
Gloria never goes to trial.
Right.
What's the last case you or Gloria Allred go to trial over?
I was going to say, I don't remember her really losing any either.
Thank you.
Because she doesn't end up doing
come get me,
any.
Gloria.
Shelley.
What?
Who are our friends online?
That would be intherooms.com.
.com.
It's an online recovery community where you can go and put up a profile, meet people in the A of your choice. Go to online chats and meetings. You can go to Friends of Recovery 101 and surf the site while you listen to our embedded player, and it's all free.
And half price this month.
Our inbred player. Sweet. Mark?
Yes?
And do we have any email addresses?
We do. You can contact us at recovery_101@hotmail.com.
.com.
Recovery101radio@hotmail.com.
.com.
Recovery101radio@gmail.com.
.com.
And if you want, are you interested in advertising with us or would like to contact us about sales?
Send us some money.
That's right. You can reach us at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com.
We've got Bruce.
The other white meat.
Back in Philadelphia, the city of bromance, the city of brotherly love. He's got the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. A fine, fine recovery publication. Absolutely free if you just want to download the Adobe Acrobat thing, which really helps them get their readership up because people they don't have to buy for it. They will do a subscription prescription, though, if you want to have it mailed to you. If you have a recovery home or an AA club or an NA club or something, you want to have it sent there, they'll do that. They'll send you several copies for free. Also, you can find out about franchise opportunities.
How you do that?
You contact Bruce, and I believe it's... Bruce@12stepgazette.com. And certainly you can go and read their fine publication. You go to recovery101.net first.
Yes.
Then you click the logo for 12-Step Gazette. It'll take you right there. That way, not only are you visiting them, but they know you're visiting them because you heard them from us. Awesome.
Support our sponsors.
Yeah.
SOS.
Shit on a shingle?
No. Support our sponsors.
Oh.
Another SOS.
It was a military thing came up.
Yeah.
Mark, who's lead on music by?
Adam Ant.
Sweet. Oh, and it's a recovery program. It's got to be goody two-shoes. All right, everyone, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
Take care of you.
Fashion, that'd be a joke. You know we're gonna send them.